Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to another roundtable episode, Windy City Storm Hockey Development Roundtable here in Chicago, Illinois, and we're excited for this one today. The last couple have been awesome, so thank you to everybody who's put in the time to send us some feedback on these. We've had a lot of coaches reach out on, specifically our wall play episode, the last one that we just did, and we want to do a lot more hockey-centric type things as we continue to do these. But today we're actually going to do a little bit more culture, some organizational culture type stuff. And so I'll introduce the gang that we have in here today. To my left is Rob Rassi. Rass?
Toph, thanks for having me back. Maybe get my name on this thing. I've been on here so much, huh?
We'll have to put you, yeah, absolutely. We also, right across me, Ryan Ward. What's up?
Toph, glad to be back. This is trifecta for me. Excited.
There we go. And then to my right, we have Dave Vannetti. Dave, how are we doing today?
Is this about men's league, this meeting?
It could. Hey, these go off the rails, and we can take it wherever you want to go.
Well, I took a slap shot off the crossbar, and the puck is stuck in the ceiling, so I think our off-ice workouts are working good in here, Toph.
Joe Maloney, shout out to Joe Maloney there for the off-ice workouts he's providing, not just the players, but the staff, it sounds like, huh?
Oh, yeah, he's done a great job getting the kids in order, not just before the games and having prepared, but after the games as well, which I think is kind of important. A lot of people put it in the front end to try to make themselves stronger and faster, but it's the recovery. It helps you through the season as well.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Vex would enjoy that statement right there. Right. So shout out to Vex. So today what we wanted to talk about actually is, so over the weekend, we put together what we called an organizational weekend. And we put some posts out there on social media about some of the stuff that we did. So you can head over to my social media on Twitter to get a little bit of a background. But what we did is we asked all of our teams in our organization from top to bottom, our oldest team all the way to our younger team, to not schedule any games, not travel, because we wanted to get everybody under one roof and just go through a weekend. And our goals were basically, number one, to get as many people excited to be a part of the organization and let everybody know it was like a celebration, and thank everybody for, you know, youth hockey is certainly a commitment, not just for the kids, but the families as well. And to say a little bit of a thank you to them. And we also got to use it as a bit of an educational opportunity where we had our hockey directors talk to all of our kids and parents. We had our strength coach talk to all of our kids and parents. We had Anthony Noreen come in, who's the head coach in Tri-City, along with Rass and Wardo and myself to talk about kind of the process of youth hockey and what we're trying to do here. So just trying to build organizational clarity, organizational culture. And I don't know about you guys, but I think the biggest thrill for me, and we'll get into kind of some of the logistical stuff that we did, but the biggest thrill for me was watching our older kids and our younger kids get the chance to interact together. And, you know, we did some inter-squad games where the older kids and the younger kids were on the ice at the same time. We did a split practice where they were on the same time. We did some games where our older kids would be coaching our younger kids. Our younger kids would be on the bench coaching our older kids. So for me, like, the biggest thrill out of watching it all was just having the opportunity to see that mentorship going on and see how excited the little kids were. So Wardo, for you as the hockey director, what was that to you?
Well, I think anytime, you know, when we bring kids into the Storm and families into the Storm, like, we look for certain things from a culture piece, from a character piece. And I'll tell you, just being on the bench with you know, coaching the inter-squad games and interacting with the parents, to see the energy and excitement that not only the younger kids had with the older kids, but really the older kids, like, getting behind the younger kids. Like, to me, if you don't have that piece of it in the organization, really, what are we doing? You know, so I think to see that and to to see the families get to know each other. And even for us, like, we're so busy traveling and running practice, for us as the staff to get to interact with all of our families and players on a different level that's not so serious and not, you know, it's you know, we're not running around in a million directions on the road on the weekend. Just to sit and take time and answer questions and get to know every player in our organization from top to bottom was real special for me.
Yeah, for sure. And Dave, as a hockey parent and as somebody who's, you know, been around for a long time and has kids in
the
program.
What do you mean by that? Well, you call me old?
You're mature.
you know,
you've been in this youth hockey scene for a long time.
I've learned a lot, and I think you got to stay close to whatever business you're in or whatever you do. And you stay close to the people that are closest to the game. I got a bunch of great young guys that have experience, you know, have gone the route, worked different places. They came together with the right idea and right type of philosophy. And I think if you look at this weekend, a lot of AAA clubs, you know, you're trying out every year. It's not like you're at a Tier 2 club and you got a luxury of being on a silver team or an elite team or a gold team. So to see the kids come out together and work together from different birth years, I think it says a lot, because an athlete has a lot of common things that they have with each other, athletes that want to be successful or good teammates. So I don't think it really has to do with how old a person is all the time. You know, maybe you'll develop more skill sets as you get older and you can do certain things on the ice. But, you know, like Ryan had talked about earlier, we look for the type of people and the type of families that will be willing to, you know, do things different, work together on a daily basis, and trust this great coaching staff and systems they put together.
Love it. Love it. And Ras, for you as like a, you know, a former college coach, and you were around last weekend and got the chance to interact with a lot of these families, you know, we talk a lot about like the character side of the recruiting process and how much time we invest for all the families out there, how much time we invest into getting to know what the families are, not just the kids. So what does a weekend like this kind of mean to you from that side of things, just on building some of that character, culture, stuff that we think is really important?
Yeah, I think seeing it all come together, and Dave kind of said too, like that mindset and like those character traits that you have start at a young age, right? So the earlier that you can kind of get those developed and get those honed in and start to create those really good habits and integrity throughout the whole organization and help develop the kids as they come up through mites and squirts and peewees up through bantams and midgets, and then eventually into juniors and college. Like the earlier that starts, I think the more impact it's going to have. And I just remember too, like in seeing some of the way that the young guys interacted with our older players, how impactful it was. Like when I was younger, when I was in squirts and peewees playing for Little Caesars and I would go to a game, I used to idolize those guys.
Oh, like for sure.
The guys playing on the midget major Little Caesars teams back in the day and watching them play when I was 9, 10, 11 years old. Those guys were idols of ours. That's where you wanted to be. That's what you wanted to aspire to. So I think those guys in our organization in particular do a great job of setting the example for those guys from a character perspective too, as to how they handle themselves and how they go about their business. So I was really impressed with this weekend overall. It was great.
Yeah, so who were some of those guys for you? Because I remember growing up in Chicago, like, you know, being the little mini mite at the glass, looking over for, I mean, you can insert short joke here if you want, but, you know, I remember coming to the rink whenever Tim Stapleton, his name is Buster. Whenever Buster Stapleton was playing, like, we were glued to the glass. We couldn't wait to see Buster Stapleton practice. We couldn't wait to see Brett Lubda practice, you know, some of those guys, and those guys ended up going on to play in the NHL, you know. So for you guys in Wardle, maybe Dave, you too, like, who were some of those people that you kind of looked up to when you were younger?
That's a good question, Toll. Like, thinking back to watching those games, I remember it was always legendary coach in Detroit, Chris Corey.
Oh, God, yeah.
Teams back in the day, and he was, they always had a wagon. I can't remember the names of the guys right now, but it was a blast. I always remember, and Chris is always, Chris is a well-known name in the hockey. Chris is one of the best coaches in youth hockey over the last 30 years, and he has a very unique personality to him, so I always, always remembered that from watching those games, too.
Well, I think what's interesting is if you look at, you know, when Topher was talking about who we idolized in the past and stuff like that, I didn't idolize one person. It was more, you know, my family was involved with Southwest Ice Arena, And, you know, that was back in the 70s and the 80s where players came out like Olachek and different people like that. And it was fresh after the 1980 Olympics. I think that, you know, the Blackhawks would come out on Thursday night practices and go upstairs and have, you know, pizza with the kids. I was just impressed with the accessibility of the successful athletes, whether it was Denny Savard or all of them, Secord. You know, they really made an effort to come out and get on the ice with the kids like once a month, and they go upstairs and have pizza with the parents and stuff and have a good time. And I think that I always remember that, and that's kind of why I think that we all have the same ideas of what we're trying to do here, and that fit in real easy, you know, to make people feel comfortable, make the families feel comfortable, and then you do difficult things. It's a difficult sport, and if you could try to get better and have a good time doing it, and people at all different levels share a common basis of pillars of how they've got there or what they need to do to play the game, I think it's exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's, you know, you can like look at the military and you look at all the studies being done on team bonding and culture and stuff like that. There's nothing that bonds people together like shared experiences, specifically if those experiences are either very good or very bad, you know? So like the military, where they'll beat you down together. You talk about the 1980 Olympic team, you know, Herb Brooks, like he galvanized those guys by being not nice to him and being the tyrant. And then I think what we were trying to do here is create an experience where it was very positive, where everybody can kind of come together and have those shared experiences, and the older kids can talk about some of the things that they're doing with the younger guys. And it, like, just having the ability to do that. And back to kind of what we were talking about earlier, Ras, like one of the biggest things that we try to emphasize, and I think a lot of coaches try to emphasize, but it's kind of tough in today's youth hockey world, probably not just youth hockey, but youth sports, is like, it's so individual centric. You know, everybody's talking about their path to get to the NHL at 9 years old, you know? Yeah. And so what we really wanted to do was drive home a point that it's really important to be excited about and care about the crest in front of your jersey and not just the name on the back. Because the way that youth sports is now, it's so backwards when it comes to that stuff. So I don't know if you guys felt like, Wardo, just in some of the feedback that you got from the coaches and some of the parents and stuff, did that come across? Was that something that people, you think, understood as we went through the weekend?
Yeah, and I think, Toph, you said it best in a tweet in your Hockey Think Tank, on your Hockey Think Tank Twitter, about how we want to create an organization where you don't have teams that wear the same jersey, right? Like you have people that are all together in the organization wearing that jersey, and it means something. You're creating a family, and Dave touched on this a little bit ago, the comfort level, right? And I think what our biggest goal here when we took over the program last October was to create a unified coaching staff, a unified organization where from top to bottom, the kids understand that they have a content and curriculum in front of them, and they have a culture and a responsibility to uphold that. And putting on the Storm jersey means something, whether you're in Tri-City or all the way down here to our junior Storm players, like that means something, right? And throwing on that sweater and being able to be a part of that community and that population, is going to be something very special. And I think, you know, it's funny, like you see last night, for instance, when your team, Topher, played the Mission at the Orbit, big 3-2 win for the U16s, by the way. Great job, Topher. That was one of the best U16 games I've ever seen.
That was a great game. Both teams played hard.
Oh, shout out to those two teams. It was great. But you know, back to that, like we had our U10 team that practiced before that game that kept – They brought their jerseys with them. Every single person stayed for the game, put on their Storm jerseys. They were screaming and yelling. And to me, like, I don't know if that comfort level would have been there for them to stay and get that excited and have that much energy and passion for the Storm if we don't do something like last weekend with the organizational weekend. So I think the more that you have people feeling comfortable and make it less individualistic and less about, hey, I'm on Instagram scoring a goal and Colorado for a showcase, and more about like, hey, our team did a really great job, our organization is winning, like we're having success, players are moving on, families love it here. That's really what we're trying to drive home in all of this.
Well, I think you going back to what Topher said regarding, you know, Herb Brooks to start, you know, like he had 1 year to get people, or several months to get people in order, and he had to be that mentality, that type of coach, you know, to they didn't have the confidence or the ability to beat a team like the you know, the Red Army. So, you know, we could have came in here with that approach when we took over CYA, but instead, you know, it, once again, it goes into the message Ryan's saying here about unified coaches. You know, the organization is from top to bottom. People have a plan. They're working together. And if you make people feel comfortable and they want to be there from the players and the parents and the communication is there, you don't have to go through those type of methods to get a good team or get your team playing well or even individually. You don't have to go from the Herb Brooks method, which is kind of only maybe will work once a year. And, you know, and like a guy like Keenan will come in and do something like that. And then by the following Christmas party, people don't want him there. They want to fight him. So I'm impressed with the way different levels of the coaches have jumped on with each other, different practices, and they're all working together. And I think that's great to see. And the parents notice it. They're excited when other people are out there participating.
That's cool. And that's something that, I mean, a big impetus for doing this episode right here is like, it's almost for, we hope that other organizations will do this too around the US and Canada and the world, whoever's listening. And like, we do some things here and we've always kind of said we're not afraid to do some things differently, and whether that's right or wrong or indifferent, whatever. I mean, we're just trying some things and it's been fun. And so like, we do a lot of this stuff too. So I'll just give everybody a little bit of background of some of the things that we do. So our midget players once a month are going to be on the ice with one of our younger teams. So all the coaches have a little bit of help. And again, it goes back to, it gives a little bit of a mentorship opportunity. The kids understand kind of what it's like to be a coach. And they're helping the coaches out with some of the younger kids, and the younger guys absolutely love having the older guys out there. Like, they love it. We do, you know, coach share, like we're on the ice with each other. So like, I coach the U16 team, but we'll have coaches from other teams come on and help us out. And I'm on the ice with other guys. And like, it's been a very, like, I've learned a lot just watching you like on the ice with your O8s. And I've learned a lot from watching Carl do skills and Monty, like, and everybody. It's been really, really cool. So we do a lot of different sharing stuff. And then just like logistically, about the organizational weekend, I think it would be good to kind of walk through what we actually did in case other people wanted to, you know, just take it and run with it and do it with their organization. So the way that we laid it out is we went Saturday and Sunday, and on Saturday we paired an older team with a younger team. So we had our 18Us with our 08s, we had our 16Us with our 09s, we had our 15Us with our 10s, and so on and so forth. And in the morning we did a joint practice. So they were on the ice together, doing drills together, passing pucks, you know, small area games, all that kind of stuff. It was really, really fun. Then from there, we did a couple info sessions where we split the teams up and we had one team go and we did an info session with our hockey directors and Anthony. So it was the three of us and Anthony in there talking about what we want to accomplish as an organization and our culture. And then we had Joe Maloney, who's our strength coach. He took every team through kind of what his goals were for the kids in the weight room and his processes, which was great. And then that evening, we had an inter-squad game where those two teams would be on the ice at the same time. We did one period where let's say it's the 18s and the 08s. The 18s would play against the 18s and the 08s would play against the 08s. We split the teams into white and purple. And then we did one period where they actually just all mixed, where you had 18s and 08s on at the same time, which was really, really funny. So that was pretty cool to see. A lot of smiles going on when that was. And then the third period went back to the same age because it got a little bit competitive because we're hockey players and that's what we do. We didn't need any of the younger kids getting hurt. And so that was just a lot of fun. And then on Sunday, what we did is we split the teams up into white and purple again, and we had like-aged teams playing against each other. So I think Wardo, your 08s played with the 07s. Yep. We had our midget program all playing against each other, 09s and 10s. And it was really, really fun because we had, again, we had the older kids out on the bench coaching the younger teams. We had the younger kids. They had a blast as coaches coaching our older guys. That was a lot of fun watching that. And so it was just really, really cool. We did an opening ceremony where we brought all the teams on the ice at the same time. We played the national anthem. We had the spotlight up on the flag and everything. It was really, really cool. And then at the end of the day, I think the most important thing that we were able to accomplish was raising money for an unfortunate cause. Brett Rote, who is a coach with the Chicago Fury, another AAA organization here in Chicago, passed away about a month ago, just unexpectedly, and left behind his wife and three small kids, which is just absolutely heartbreaking. And so we got the chance to raise some money through a 50-50 and through some meal share stuff, and we'll be sending a check over to the family. And if you can, if you're listening to this, there's a GoFundMe page for Brett, and they've already raised, I think it's over $150,000, which is amazing. I mean, the hockey community at large is just so incredible. And so if you can, just go to the site and donate to Brett's family there. But overall, it was just that was the logistics of the weekend. And I don't know, what did you guys think of just the whole logistical, how it went?
Yeah, Toph. I mean, for me, it was phenomenal. I think just seeing the, you know, it, even as coaches, like you see, you know, when you get to Sunday and the two age groups playing together, and then it, you know, the biggest thing for me is when we talk about coaches being on the ice together, players being on the ice together, how we're unified as an organization, and you know, we share drills and plans and philosophies. Like, you see the kids on the ice playing the same way, right? Regardless of what age group they're at, like, they're picking this up and they're starting to, like, just blend, you know? And I think that's one of the coolest things is when you see the kids from the youngest age groups trying things that the older kids are doing, and then, you know, growing into their game, and everyone's kind of playing the same way. And it's that was really neat for me to see, and to see how much work goes into that. And I think, Toph, you did a great job putting that together. I mean, one of the most exciting parts of the weekend for me was just seeing the smiles, like, in the bar restaurant at the Orbit, and the kids, and just seeing the parents kind of let their guard down. You know what I mean? Like, let their guard down and be themselves, and the kids are being themselves. And to me, that is just the most important thing, because we want people that want to love to come to the rink, that want to love the grind of what we're doing, and that's exactly what happened.
I couldn't agree more. I think when you kind of gave your talk to the kids and were kind of reminding them why they play the game, it's to have fun.
Yeah.
And for me, throughout the course of the weekend, I just saw a ton of smiles. I just and it's something that's, you know, with the in the crux of the season, things can get competitive. You're going from trip to tournament to showcase to this and that, and there's, you kind of sometimes can lose sight of that. And for me, it was a nice reminder for everybody, I think, is to everyone that came to the rink, from kids to parents, I think just had a blast.
Isn't it weird? There was just, like, no pressure.
It's great. It was
awesome.
You know, like, you talk, he's so funny. Like, sometimes, like, everybody, like, it's probably the parents feel the most pressure out of anybody. But
I felt a little pressure when I looked over at the opposing bench, and I thought I saw our U16 coach bribe the referee in the 07-08 game. I'm not sure
that
if
was
I...
not the U16 coach.
Okay. Right.
It wasn't a different player on our bench. There was a 15U goalie who shall remain nameless, who put a 20 spot in the ref's pocket there, and I think it actually ended up swaying the game, and we won.
Yes, it did,
by like a goal on a penalty shot, I think. Right. Is that what happened?
No, you won by five.
Oh, we won
on
by five
penalty shots.
Oh, five.
Yep. So, anyway, we don't have to talk about that anymore. But that was, yeah, that was an interesting moment of the weekend for me.
You know what's interesting, though? So, I feel like when I go back to when I was coaching at Cornell, so one of the things that I would like to do at the end of the year, you know, we all do our end of the year meetings and stuff, and you ask for feedback and everything. I think one of the things that was eye-opening for me is every year, so I was in charge mostly of the forwards, and so every year, a couple times a year, I would have all the forwards over for dinner. My wife and I would cook them dinner, and, you know, just not talk any hockey, just have a good time or whatever. And the feedback that I always got from the players, like, they would bring that up at the end of the year. Like, hey, we got to do more of that. Like, that was awesome. Like, really, really cool, brought us together, you know. And I think there's, like, a humanizing element of coaching that is really, really important. And I feel like this weekend especially, like, we didn't have to coach.
Right.
You know, we were just people.
Right.
Because everybody sees coach as coach, and that's it. Everybody sees player as player, and that's it. Everybody sees parent as parent, and that's it. And I felt like this weekend we were all just able to be kind of, like, Storm people, like Storm family, and interacting without the pressure of, hey, is coach going to play my kid? Or, hey, like, what are we going to do on the power play? Or, hey, what's the ice time? Like, it was just a very humanizing place where you can build those relationships between coaches and players and parents.
Yeah, you know what's funny you say that, Toph, is, you know, obviously I've been extremely fortunate with different opportunities to coach at the professional level or, you know, major junior, but I think the best coaches, and I mean, for anyone that's been there and any of our listeners that have worked in an NHL coach's office, there is very little humanizing elements to a season, right? Like, you're managing egos, you're managing people, brands, and I think that that gets lost as you go up the chain, right? And I think one of the biggest things and that these kids, the young kids, yearn for these days is to be able to know that their coach is a human being and they care about them like human beings, right? Like, I don't care how good you are at putting together a game plan or your team systems, you know, everything's always development, systems, winning, all that stuff. But like, when you get a group of people that are willing to go to bat for each other and be in the grind together, you go so much further. It is what it is. And that this past weekend, I believe, gave the families a glimpse into, you know, who we are as people, which I think is very important when you're asking families to travel and you're asking families to buy into what we're doing here, to know that like we are putting our hearts and souls into this, to me is probably the most important thing.
I like it. Yeah. And I think the other thing too, to kind of go along with what you're saying, is like, I love Phil Jackson being a Chicago guy and, you know, like watching the Bulls win all those championships. So I've read all his books and things like that. And one of the biggest things that he talks about in his books is the importance of having everybody understand that they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And that I feel like, and I hope that this weekend accomplished that, because I think it's really good for the development of the kids in this stressful cesspool of what youth sports has become, where everybody, there's the FOMO and people feel like if they don't achieve this by this age, then their hockey career is over. You know, at the end of the day, like, we have to take a step back and teach these kids that they have to feel like they're a part of something that is bigger than them for their own development. So they don't feel so stressed about, and they're not only thinking about themselves, which makes them a better teammate. And I just, like, I really, really hope that that is something that got instilled in everybody, is just like, hey, we're all in this together. We're all, you know, hopefully on the same page, and let's teach these kids that, hey, it's, and we talk about it with our teams, like, individual success comes from team success. You know, I remember, so you know Will Nickel. So do you know Will?
I don't.
So Will, he was my coach in junior hockey, and he's the director of player development for Vegas now.
Okay.
Right. And so first day, he's the head coach in junior hockey. He plops this big, like, pamphlet in front of us, just sheet of papers like this thick or whatever. And the first thing that was on there was last year's college commitments per team in the USHL. And it was like, okay, so the best teams, the ones that had the best records that got the farthest, were the ones that had the most college commitments. So he's like, you guys can be on your own page and do whatever you want to do, but if you want to get somewhere, you have to rely on everybody else in the room. Like, your success comes from my success, and my success comes from your success. And I just think that's such an important lesson for all these kids to learn, because it is, youth sports has become so much about me, me, me. And at the end of the day, if you develop that attitude, you're going to be left behind. I don't know if you see that in here.
For sure. I think even from a scouting perspective, and coming from college or NHL scouting, like, you're looking for kids that can that have those intangibles, you know what I mean, that comprise of winning teams. Because at the end of the day, that those are the type of people you want in your program, you know. So I think that was it's a big component of hockey that can kind of go not talked about.
Thank you for your time, guys. I got to leave right now. These guys will finish off the show.
Thanks, B-Man.
I like it. So the other thing, Wardo, that you were talking about a little bit earlier that I want to touch on is you talked about buy-in. And I feel like the more you can get people, and especially, like, we've talked about how we're doing some things a little bit differently and how that sometimes different people get a little bit scared of. whatever different means to different people. And I feel like this weekend hopefully accomplished some more buy-in for some of the things that we're trying to do. Because if you don't get buy-in from the players and you don't get buy-in from the parents, you're kind of hooped as a youth hockey organization, you know? So as the hockey director, talk a little bit about like just how important that buy-in factor and how it kind of relates to what we were doing this weekend.
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously we come into this situation and you know, a huge you know, the vision of our board and our you know, Tri-City ownership, to me, allowing us to put everything together, like, yeah, like, as you said, Toph, things are a little bit different. I think we're trying to do things a little bit different from a development perspective, from a spring hockey, summer hockey perspective. But for us, like, anytime you're trying to change something or you know, do something a little different, people are going to be wary of it. And I think that what we're doing here is we're asking people to you know, get educated and be educated on the process, to not be in a rush, to be where your feet are as an organization. And you know, we have a ton of good staff and a ton of great families and people here that are, for the most part, completely bought in. And I think that people are starting to come around to it. Obviously, you know, we've opened up the academy for our older players with TPH to give them, and we talked about it this weekend, to give them an opportunity to, you know, train like elite athletes. And Anthony, and we all talk about it so much, is, you know, playing AAA hockey and just going to practice two or three times a week. Yeah, that's great. It might be for some people, but we want to give opportunities to our players to enhance their practice to game ratio to 3-1 instead of 1-1, right? And you know, our biggest thing has been, you know, educating our population and our organization on what we have seen work at different levels. You know, in college, I remember going to visit you at Cornell, Toph, and you had all the forwards on the ice in the morning and doing skill pods. And that's the same way we run things in Tri-City. And we want our younger players to look up to our midget program and our national bound teams and want to be part of that. And I think, you know, everything we do here is driven by the player. It's driven for the, like, everything we do is to help these guys reach their full potential, no matter where that is. Could be Division I hockey, could be the USHL. You know, we talked a lot about making our people in the organization employable adults.
Employable adults.
Right? And just leave this place better than when they found it and make sure that they're thriving, positive contributors to society. So I think a lot of times when you're changing things and changing systems and structures and processes that have been around for a while, people are going to naturally be apprehensive to it. But I think that we're, you know, not super concerned with how it's always been done, and we want to make sure that we're doing our research. And this weekend was just, for me, the organizational weekend was a weekend where, as coaches and people putting this together, we could just answer those questions and make sure that people felt comfortable to have an open forum, which we got a lot of great questions in our presentations here. And I think all of our staff's different experiences lend to being able to talk to a lot of different things.
Yeah, that communication with the families is everything. I mean, transparency, you try to be as transparent as you can. I mean, you try to be 100% transparent. That's the goal. And you can't have that unless you have communication and dialogue. And, you know, we don't do things perfectly all the time.
Sure.
Like, we're going to make mistakes. And it's always good to have that dialogue and create those relationships with the families, because then they're open enough to come in. Because what sinks organizations is the pettiness behind the scenes, where people are complaining about X, Y, and Z, and then that negativity just spreads. I've seen it sink teams, I've seen it sink organizations, and it just leads to a whole lot of negativity and hostility, which is not what youth sports is about. And so just finding the time to show the families, and I think that's another thing that came across, was like, we really care about your kids and their development. Putting together a weekend like this where we can get everybody together, we show what we're doing as an organization, we put some time and effort into some mentorship stuff. Like, hopefully the parents came out of that thinking like, hey, at the end of the day, the most important thing is that these people care about our children, which is all parents can ask for. Being a parent now, Wardle, you're a parent, like, if you can surround your kids with people that care about them, and hopefully they half know what they're doing, then you're in a pretty good spot.
Absolutely agree.
What's so funny? What's so funny, Ras?
Mordo gave me a look when wondering why I don't have any kids.
Well, I didn't know if there's any plans. Or anyway,
thanks, Ryan.
It is interesting too, because like I got some feedback from some of the parents. So in our presentation that we did with the three of us and Anthony, the one thing that I did with all of our teams was I went through like what we call the five golden rules of youth hockey. And it's so weird that like I feel like these golden rules are like anti what youth sports is right now. And even in youth hockey, where everything is so pressurized, everything is so competitive, and people get so, I don't know, into it in maybe right or wrong ways. But I just wanted to like share these, because I hope that like people take these seriously. And I know at times, maybe even us, we aren't the best at following these five golden rules. You know, we're competitive people just like anybody else. But I think if we can get back to these, it's like really, it'd just be really good for the kids and for the families that we're shepherding through the process. So like the first one is hockey is a game that's meant to be fun and teach your kids life lessons like teamwork, effort, resiliency, and passion. You know, and this is where the employable adults conversation came in. It was Anthony's line. Like, we want to create employable adults, people that can succeed once they're done with hockey, whenever they're done with hockey. And like we talked about this, Ras, like you coached at Harvard, I coached at Cornell. Like, how many headhunters and how many recruiters from businesses and Fortune 500 companies came to our universities and our teams specifically because they wanted to hire hockey players?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It shows certain character qualities that guys have to have.
Yeah.
In order to play at that level.
Yeah. And again, sometimes in youth hockey nowadays, like we're like the wrong values and the wrong lessons are being learned. And so at the end of the day, again, it's a reminder like, hey, like this is about fun. We don't work hockey. We play hockey. And it's about learning those life lessons. Number two, communication is key. Healthy communication between parents, kids, coaches are all important for players' development. We kind of walk through player to player, how important those communications are, player to parent and parent to player, how important those communications are. We talked a lot about the car ride home and how important those conversations are between mom, dad, and kid, and then the parents and the kids and the coaches too, and just kind of walked everybody through just what healthy communication looks like from those frameworks. Number three, control the things that you can control and teach your kid to do the same. There's a lot of uncontrollable things in a kid's youth hockey journey. There's a lot of uncontrollable things that parents, you know, they can't pave the way. Their kid has to learn the lessons and go through it, the ups, the downs, and everything in between. If you can focus on the things that you can control, like your attitude and your effort. And we were talking to the kids, right? We asked the kids, like, okay, what are things that you can control? And they were all pretty funny when they came up with their things. But smart kids, they talked about attitude and effort and how they treat each other, being a good teammate. So that was good. Number four, hockey development is a marathon and it's not a sprint. You can only get 0.5% or whatever the cliche is, 1% better every day. That's what everybody will tell you, and it's absolutely true. And so we go through the process, and a lot of the things that we talk about is like, you know, if you just focus on the results, you're going to be frustrated because everybody's path is usually the long way. And Anthony talked about, what was it, three kids that he coached at Tri-City that have gone the farthest and are all either playing in the NHL right now or will be in the very short future. And they all had different paths.
Who were they?
Okay. So one of them was Shane Pinto.
Yeah.
Right? Shane Pinto. The other one was Ronnie Adderd and Zach Jones.
Yeah.
There we go.
Impressive.
So why don't you, well, Wardo, like you know these kids, like talk about their paths.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Anthony said it best with like Ronnie. Ronnie's at, I believe he's at Western Michigan yep. right now. And Ronnie was a guy who I think came into the league and he was in and out of the lineup for the first couple of years and then won Defenseman of the Year.
He was a phase one pick.
Yeah,
drafted in the first phase, the younger draft of the USHL, but came in and struggled for a couple of years and then ended up, what did Anthony say? He broke every scoring record for
USA
a defenseman.
Hockey, USA Junior Hockey Player of the Year that year.
Yeah, Defenseman of the Year, Junior Hockey Player of the Year, and now obviously he's having a great go at it at Western, and will most likely be playing in the NHL here come the spring or whenever he's ready there. But I think that experience of not, like you said, controlling the controllables and not rushing it, I mean, he's exactly where he's supposed to be today. You know, same thing with, like, I think Jonesy got you know, and shout out to Jonesy, who's comes back for our Tri-City Storm alumni weekend in the summer. It's always a great weekend. But I think Jonesy got passed over by pretty much everyone phase one, right?
He didn't get drafted in phase one. Went back to, was it Selects Academy, played for Planner, and had a great year there, and then got drafted, second overall
in the phase two
draft. So for those of, like, the people that don't know about the USHL draft, so there's a phase one draft, which for this year was the 2005 group. And then there's a phase two draft for anybody of junior eligibility, so 2004 and older until you age out if you're not protected by a USHL team. So that's kind of how the drafts work. So Jonesy, I'd say, like, I know him, but Zach Jones, he got passed over in his first draft, put in a ton of work, got drafted second overall, went to in the phase two draft, so the older draft, went to Tri-City, had a great career there, went to UMass, won a national championship, and now he's a steady player for the New York Rangers.
Right.
So, you know, you have Ronnie, who phase one pick, you know, pretty, I don't know if he was highly touted, but phase one pick, so he's a pretty good player as a 15-year-old, struggled for a couple years, and then figured it out, worked hard, and now he's USA Junior Player of the Year. Then you have Zach Jones, who was undrafted, went back, had a year, and then, you know, went to UMass, and now is playing for the Rangers. And then Shane Pinto was
the third
one. Yeah,
I think that's the most impressive one for me. And I don't know Shane at all, but listening to Anthony tell that story, Shane Pinto was passed over 160 times in the Phase 1 draft, okay? He was then passed over 204 more
19
times.
Rounds.
Yeah, 19 rounds in the phase two draft, and he's playing second line center for the Ottawa Senators.
And then the following year, after going in the 20th round, he was the first pick in the second round in the National Hockey League.
Right.
Insane.
So, and you know what? We see this a lot here, Toaf, with, and we talk about all of this stuff, and it all comes full circle with, and even parents on, you know, the U15 teams I've coached the past 2 years, you know, people get upset because for the 15 seconds that you don't get to put your draft pick picture on Instagram, people have that FOMO and want that so bad and to be in the spotlight. But to be honest, like, none of that matters, right? Like, you have to, and I've said this before on a podcast, like, you have to arrive when you're supposed to, right? The raw chicken thing. Like, no one likes to eat raw chicken. Like, that's, I mean, that's my thing. Like, I will say that, like, there's a perfect path, and quite honestly, like, we have probably the best example in our program. Like, we don't have to name names, but, like, a kid that was passed over in phase one, and then now he's playing U16, and he just got added to an affiliate list in the USHL. I mean, it's you, for the parents listening out there and the young players, you cannot rush where you're supposed to go. And it's just, you just have to control your attitude every single day, look in the mirror, and you know, it's funny, I read this book by David Goggins called Can't Hurt Me.
Oh, that's a good book. Yeah. He's intense.
Intense. It was an unbelievable book, and he talks about this accountability mirror, right? So when he wanted to reach certain goals, he would put little post-its on his mirror and then look into the mirror in the morning and realize that if he wasn't reaching that goal, it could be a small goal for the week or a bigger goal for his life. But whenever he accomplished one of those, he would take it down and put a new one up just to keep moving forward. And this is a guy who stressed his body and his life like to the ultimate ends.
He like went through Navy SEAL training
like three times
just to do it.
Yeah. Three
just
times.
To see if he can get through it.
And then he's a ultra marathon or whatever.
Yeah.
It's got, like, crazy, like, runs 100-mile marathons. But anyway, so parents and players, like, when you're in this process, just be where your feet are and enjoy the, you know, get yourself into a situation where the development's good, the people care about you, there's open communication, there's legitimate family-like atmosphere where people are all pulling for you to reach your maximum potential. And then hold yourself accountable with your attitude and what you can control every day. I think that's the biggest thing. And those three players that Anthony talked about are three totally different stories, but they all just stuck with it. And now they're exactly where they were supposed to be. And don't get discouraged. Don't be, don't have that FOMO of not getting drafted. And like, it's such a long road. Just,
or even like younger kids, like 100%. Not making a AAA team or not being invited to some tournament team or whatever. Like, that stuff filters down to such a young age now, where that FOMO happens, right? So like, we're sitting here giving these stories about like USHL, major, junior, college, pro players, but like this is important for the youngest of youngest kids and their families too.
Right. Yeah. There's a time to be a kid and be a and you know, have a part of you that's not always, you know, just worried. Like the guys who make it are the people who, you know, even from a young age, like, you can't get discouraged. Just be happy to be there. Work as hard as you can.
Have fun.
Like we say it, what was the number one answer, Topher, when you asked the kids why they play the game?
Yeah. To have fun. I love it.
Right.
Have fun or love it.
So
that was one of the things we did in our talk, because in our info sessions, it was with both the parents and the kids. And so at, like, the last question I asked the kids was, why do you play hockey? You know? And I think it was good for, obviously, for everybody to hear, but sometimes it's good for the parents to hear why their kids
play. That's the fifth golden rule, right?
The fifth golden rule is, make sure you take a step back and enjoy it.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. It's a grind. You know, there's a lot of travel. There's a cost that comes with it. Like, it can be pretty crazy, but at the end of the day, like, and we asked the kids, why do you play? And they all, every single one of them, because I love it, because it's fun. And then you ask the parents, well, why do you put your kids in youth hockey? Well, I put my kids in youth hockey so they could be healthy and they can make friends and learn some stuff, you know, learn some life lessons and things. And like, if you ask every hockey parent, well, I shouldn't say every hockey parent, but
some of them like the tailgate in the parking lot.
You ask most parents why they put their kids in sports. Like, that's, it always comes from pure motives and values, and sometimes that just gets lost. So it was really cool to kind of see the parents' body language and facial expressions as the kids were going around and they were all talking about it. Oh, because it's fun, because it's fun, because it's fun. From the 18U kids all the way down to the youngest kids too. So it was pretty cool. So yeah, the last one is, make sure you take a step back and enjoy it. Youth hockey is a lifestyle. If you embrace the positives, your kids and your family will make friends for life, you know? Like, it's, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And it does. It can get a little crazy. It can get a little stressful. But at the end of the day, taking a step back is never a bad thing in anything, you know? Never a bad thing. So, all right. Well, we've been doing this here for, what, we've got 45 minutes or so. I would love to hear from people. Like, I honestly, truly hope that other organizations do this. And I say that because, obviously, from a big picture standpoint, we want to see the hockey world be a better place, but also because, like, I feel like we saw the success that it had with our group. And again, we're a week out, so it's a little bit fresh right now. But we really just like the vibe of the rink and seeing all the kids smiling and seeing all the parents smiling and interacting with each other and just a no stress environment. I mean, it just, I really, really hope that other organizations want to do this. And so if you do, email me, topher@thehockeythinktank.com. I can send you the itinerary that we did. I can send you anything that you want. I would love to help anybody if they want to do this, kind of structure it for their own organization. But thanks for all the help with it, guys. Like, I thought you guys did awesome too in the entire weekend, as well as all of our coaches within our staff here. And any final thoughts, Ras?
I mean, just reflecting back on it, just to hit it again, like feeling the energy and just kind of seeing the overall, just the smiles for the kids, and just, it's carrying over through the week, seeing the kids at the game last night. And it was awesome to see.
Yeah. Wardo, any final?
No, I think from a, you know, the even from the flip side, Ras, like for the staff to see the smile on the staff's faces, and you know, like obviously we have a ton of things going on here with the Storm and the Windy City Storm and building new rinks and academies, but to be able to take a step back and talk to the kids and laugh with them and joke with them, and you know, it was such a great thing to see our staff having a blast in a non-pressure environment. You know, I just want to thank all of our Windy City Storm staff, our board, all of our families and parents. You know, I think with the few free weekends that you have in youth hockey, to commit to something that we did like that last weekend on an off weekend, was something that we can't be thankful enough for. It was a priceless opportunity for all of us to get together to raise some money. You know, so thank you very much to all of our families, all the Storm families, all the parents, all the players, our board. But yeah, you guys did a phenomenal job. Our staff was awesome. The players showed up. They had juice. We love that when they get some juice going. So it was great.
The best was when the players were on the bench. there were some kids that were actually trying to coach.
Oh yeah,
you know, and then one of the younger kids would kind of look
to the middle. Yeah.
And they're like, man, coaching's kind of hard. I can't remember who it was, but like, man, this is it. I'm like, well, what do you think we feel when you're doing this? You know, so that was pretty funny. But yeah, it was so much fun. Happy to get the chance to talk about it here today. A little bit different than the other Windy City Storm roundtables that we've been doing. But yeah, thanks everybody. And then we also have some other people to thank. Ras, who would
I'm
you
not
like
getting
to
put on the spot today? I'm a little prepared. I actually have a list. First, we'd like to thank Gel Sticks. Shout out to John Lonsbury. We talk a lot on this podcast about development, Ryan.
We do.
When we were young and you threw a muffin at the net, like Toph, I'm sure you did a lot of.
It was always, that is true. It was an elite always, muffin is what they said I had.
It was always hit the wrist curls. Get some wrist curls going. Now it's, I feel like, John, you need to come up with a little lingo, a little saying to develop that wrist core strength. But it's an awesome tool. We used them when I was at Harvard, and guys loved them. So a great training tool. Second person we want to thank is icehockeysystems.com. Coaches, always looking for a leg up, always looking for those extra resources in terms of drill planning, new ideas, new concepts. It's a great resource. Toph was actually walking me through it yesterday and kind of showing me some of the things in it. Coaches highly recommend it. The last one is Heroic, a training app.
Train
Heroic.
Oh, you messed up, Ras.
Train Heroic. I was just given false information by you, Ryan. I don't want to hear it. But again, another great training resource. I know our guys in Tri-City use it, and highly recommended.
Yep, Jeff Lavecchio, RIPT. Shout out to Vex.
I think we need to add a fourth ad read to maybe someone with a shoe or boot company that's listening right now. I was marveling at Ryan's wardrobe choice earlier today. I noticed he has a hole in his boot. So maybe there's a boot company listening who we can maybe get Ryan a new pair.
Well, these are Johnson and Murphy's, and I bought them about, probably 10 years ago when I was on Long Island, and it's like, just fits like a glove.
Who
shout out
be
to Johnson and Murphy.
Yeah, Johnson and Murphy.
Hey, no, what is it? What do they say on Chicklets? No free ads?
Yeah, no free ads.
Who would be the guy on our staff that people would need to go to for their fashion advice?
Mike Monty. Mike Monty. With gym shorts and a New England District 1998 t-shirt on. By far the studliest, most fashionable human being.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with shopping at Free RS. All right? I shop there frequently. And so, but I'm not the person to take fashion advice from.
No, the Swede's pretty good. Carl Linden has good sty. I think that's what the boys call it. I mean, Anthony Noreen has the best sty on earth. Can't bring him around. But, yeah, Monts, we got to help Monts out. Maybe we got to. Yeah, we'll get together. That's another whole topic. What I want to know is, when are we going to get Joe Corvo and Carl Linden on the Windy City Storm Roundtable? Those guys need to get on this.
Here, here's what we need to do. We're going to put some public pressure on them right now.
Yeah.
So I've been asking Carl Linden, Joe Corvo, and Dougie Helawa to get on here because they run our TPH skates in the morning with our players, and their skill sessions are unbelievable. And so I have asked them to do a podcast roundtable with us on structuring a D development session. A skate, because I think that would be unreal.
Be awesome.
Yeah, unreal. These guys do such a good job, and they all come from different kind of backgrounds too. Like Dougie was a video coach with the Islanders. He's coached at a lot of different places.
Lake State.
Yeah, like he's, and he does a great job. Carl's a Swede, so we get a little bit of the European flavor, and he's our director of player development, and he's A+, like unbelievable. Yeah. Corv's played 700 games in the NHL, ran a power play in the NHL, like those three, it's phenomenal. So putting some public pressure on them, so maybe even next week we'll have a D development session.
Yeah, and Joe Corvo, is still in the most unbelievable shape out of any human
being.
He's
so jacked.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable.
He's so jacked.
He's an animal.
Big human being.
Animal.
So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for continuing to tune into this one. And like I said, please, 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 if you have some feedback for us, especially on this organizational weekend, if it's something that you want to do with your organization, feel free to reach out to me, Topher@thehockeythinktank.com, and I can walk you through it and give you all the stuff that we had. So, hope you enjoy your week, and we will see you soon.